Well, welcome to this midweek message from Myers Town Church of the Brethren. I'm Pastor Dennis, and this message is for Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. My title for this message is The Women at the Cross. I'm going to read a scripture for you. It's from Mark 15, verses 40 to 41. The setting here is that at the foot of Jesus' cross are some women watching the events that have taken place there. This is what Mark writes. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. I have a picture I'd just like you to see for a moment. It's a beautiful view, isn't it? Reminds me of a song. I know I'm dating myself with this song, but it's the song From a Distance, which was written in 1987 by Julie Gold and made popular by Bette Midler. The song won a Grammy for Song of the Year in 1991. Some of you might remember the lyrics. From a distance, the world looks blue and green and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, there is harmony and it echoes through the land. It's the voice of hope. It's the voice of peace. It's the voice of every man. Songwriter Julie Gold once explained the purpose of the song was to get people to think about the difference between how things appear to be and how they really are. Yes, the world does look perfect, doesn't it, from a distance. Well, in this scripture from Mark's gospel, we read that when Jesus was crucified, some women were there watching from a distance. As I read that scripture, I begin to wonder, where were the men who were following with Jesus? So I decided for this week's Shouting Stones message, I'm going to share some thoughts about those women who were at the cross. And next week, I'll deal with that question. Where were the men? If you recall so far in these Shouting Stones midweek messages, I've considered the boldness of Bartimaeus, a young servant girl who spoke what she knew to be true and in doing so brought Jesus' disciple Peter to grief and to tears as he realized the extent of his betrayal of Jesus. And last week, a Roman centurion who, because of what he saw and experienced at the cross, confessed that this man truly was the Son of God. So today, let's look at these women who were at the cross when Jesus was crucified. What those women saw from a distance was nothing like those lyrics in Julie Gold's song. What they saw from a distance was some of the worst a human being can do to another human being. Crucifixion on a Roman cross. A long, terrible, agonizing ordeal that these women watched from a distance for hours until Jesus died. Those of you who've been following this series of midweek messages might recall that I pointed out how the gospel writer Mark seldom identifies people by name, and that he is also pretty hard on Jesus' 12 disciples who don't seem to grasp the things Jesus is telling them. Yet here at the scene of the crucifixion, Mark identifies some of these women by name. Maybe that's a dig at the disciples, I don't know. Or maybe that's because some of these women will have a major role in the events that we're about to unfold. Well, who were these women? You know, one of the commonly raised objections to the credibility of the New Testament is some seeming inconsistencies in the stories of the four Gospels, one of them being the identity of these women at the cross and those women who appeared later at the resurrection. Actually, I think the Gospels are really pretty consistent on the identity of these women. Part of the problem is the variety of ways by which they're identified. But really, that isn't such an unusual thing. We do it all the time. To some people, I'm just Dennis. To some others, I'm Pastor Dennis. To those closest to me and family, I'm Denny. One of my mother's brothers was Charles Richard Neely. To his wife, my Aunt Kathy, he was Charles. To most of the family, he was Richard. So different ways of identifying people are not that unusual. Well, part of the confusion with the names of these women is that Mary must have been the number one name for girls in the first century Palestine. So we have several Marys, which gets a little confusing. And each of the gospel writers has a different way of identifying the same Mary. Sometimes people were associated with a place, like Mary Magdalene, which means Mary from Magdala, a small village in Galilee. This Mary is consistently named in all four gospels. Sometimes people were identified by their family associations, like Mary, the mother of James the Younger and Joseph. Now this Mary gets a little confusing because earlier in Mark's gospel, he tells us Jesus' mother Mary had sons named James and Joseph. John's gospel tells us that Jesus' mother Mary was also present at the cross. So maybe this Mary in Mark's gospel was Jesus' mother, but then why didn't Mark just say Jesus' mother Mary? Some think this Mary was sometimes identified as the other Mary. Some think she was Mary, the wife of Clopas, who John says was Jesus' mother's sister. Now that would really be confusing. Then finally, someone who's not a Mary, Salome, who's identified in scripture as another of Jesus' mother's sisters, the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John. And Mark tells us there were also at the cross many other women who had come with Jesus to Jerusalem. Got all that? Just a little confusing. Why is it important that we know their names? Well, because unlike the now 11 male disciples closest to Jesus, remember Judas, the betrayer, is no longer with the disciples. These women who had followed him didn't run away. They were there at the cross, through the crucifixion. They remained faithful, not just until Jesus died, but even afterward. They watched from a distance. Watched, that's an important word. They watched what happened at the cross. Some of them watched as Jesus was placed in the tomb. And some of these women who had mourned Jesus' death would have been the privilege and joy of being the first to see the risen Jesus and announce his resurrection to the disciples. These women were the eyewitnesses to Jesus' crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. In a culture where women were regarded as worthless witnesses in a court of law, not even allowed to testify, these women were the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And the resurrected Jesus instructed them to be his witnesses and to go tell his disciples. It's a word that's getting kicked around a lot today, and it's the word misogynist, someone who is strongly prejudiced against women. Yet from cover to cover, the Bible seems to go out of its way to honor women. From the very first chapter, we're told that women and men both bear the stamp of God's own image. The Bible views wives as partners and cherished companions of their husbands. The Ten Commandments tell children to honor both their father and their mother. The Bible teaches in Galatians 3:28 that men and women are one, equals in Christ. And husbands are instructed to love their wives sacrificially, as Christ loves the church, even if necessary, at the cost of their own lives. Christianity elevated the status of women. Unlike other rabbis, Jesus' followers included women. In his gospel, Luke tells us, Jesus took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women he had healed and from whom he had cast out evil spirits. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. On the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was born, women were there praying with the apostles. As you read the history of the early church, women are there, women like Priscilla, Dorcas, and Lydia, and the women that Paul recognized in the closing words, the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. Women are important in God's kingdom, and these women at the cross provide a tremendous example of faith and faithfulness for us. They didn't run away. They remained faithful in spite of what seemed to be the end for Jesus. And because they remained faithful, they were given the greatest privilege of all, to be the eyewitnesses of the greatest event in history, the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are here today because of their witness. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these amazing women who stood by the cross at a distance, from a distance, and watched what took place there. Watched Jesus being placed in the tomb, and then had the honor and the privilege of witnessing his resurrection. It's because of their faith and their faithfulness that we know you, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a good week. Hope to see you on Sunday morning.